You are Locked On Big Ten Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is your Locked On Big Ten Football podcast with Chris Landry. I'm Dave Hooker. It's brought to you in part by Vivid Seats, an online event ticket marketplace that you can get the best tickets, whether it be concerts or sporting events, whatever you're interested in. And they have an awesome loyalty program. You've got to check it out. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. You're automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, and you'll enjoy credits on all of your purchases as part of the Vivid Seats Rewards. All Vivid Seats confirmed orders are backed by 100% guarantee. It is that awesome. How about 10 to 16% credit on your purchases through the app? Simply awesome. All right, here we go. Let's start off with the Friday night game. It'll be Penn State at Maryland. Lost a little bit of gleam, a little bit of shine when Maryland fell short. We thought both teams were going to come into this game undefeated, but still, should be a good matchup. And Penn State, there's no guarantee they'll be able to stop Maryland's high-powered offense.
No guarantee. Penn State's been a little schizophrenic in their past. They've got more explosive talent. The key to look out for this game is third down efficiency. Penn State and Maryland struggled with that a little bit in terms of their ability to make plays, stay on the field. You know, you got to get the pass rush going right away against this Maryland offense. You know, what I have noticed about this Penn State team is that it's played pretty clean. It hasn't beaten itself. It hasn't turned the football over. Hadn't been real penalized. The defense is getting off the field, some sacks. So I like their chances here of kind of, you know, fixing this. Temple's pass rush, was pretty effective, and it got to Josh Jackson. It had four sacks and multiple pressures, and that's what slowed down Maryland's offense. Listen, the offense had gaudy numbers. It was against two bad opponents. Temple, pretty good defensive front. They handled them. So, look, I think I don't know what they're going to be able to do against this Nittany Lion defense, but based upon how these two teams have played, I would say that Penn State's going to have some success here defensively, getting them out of rhythm. And then it's going to be up to Penn State's offense, which that's been the more inconsistent side of it. Sean Clifford did not play all that well against Pitt. He hadn't thrown a pick, though. They don't have a Barkley or a Miles Sanders, but they've got some good backs in Ford and Kane and Slade. But you know what? I think they're going to have some issues against this Maryland defense. So I look at it and say, all right, how is this going to play out? And I think this. I think that it's going to fall a lot on Penn State's defense, their ability to really get good pressure on Maryland. If Maryland gets some early points and catch Penn State, you know, with really some early success and get Penn State's defense out of position is what I'm trying to say, then I think it could be a real challenge for Penn State to come from behind. So I think that Penn State needs to kind of play this game on schedule a little bit and be not in a position to where they have to come from behind. But I think it should be funny. I think it may be the game of the week. It's on Friday night.
Yep, absolutely.
Game of the week. Right, in the Big Ten.
I've got a weird feeling that Northwestern is going to play Wisconsin really tough. I know Northwestern 1-2 right now, Wisconsin 3-0, but I just have a weird feeling Northwestern will play Wisconsin tough. That's a 11 o'clock Central game on Saturday. Am I wrong or am I right?
Well, I don't know, obviously, is the honest answer. I think that it's certainly, and maybe this is where your thought process went to, is Wisconsin's obviously coming off of a big win. Everyone's really high on them. I think that's always interesting to kind of see a team like this that's now getting a lot of praise. How do they handle it? Northwestern will fight you. They're tough defensively. The only thing I would say against that is I don't know where Northwestern's going to get the offense from. They have no playmakers. They're really struggling in that department. And I just don't know. I think if Wisconsin plays an off game, I still think they win. And I think potentially win decisively because I just don't know where Northwestern's going to get their points. Hunter Johnson's not playing well, but, you know, they're not playing well around him, and they don't have a running game. You know, it's, you know, I would expect a fight. They've got some defense, you know, that in coaching track record that says, you know what? Absolutely. From a, my football brain says, no way. You know, a 25-point win. It does. So, and I can't really see it any other way, but I do respect the fact that, you know what, this happens sometimes with these kids, and I do expect Northwestern to fight and play as best as they can. I just don't know how they get it done. But it would be interesting if they if the Wisconsin plays poorly if this is close. It's, you know, I will say this. This means nothing, but over the last 12 meetings, record 6-6. So, you know, it's usually not easy, but yet I think anything short of a 20-25-point victory would be a surprise to me because it, not just Wisconsin. I think Wisconsin could play down from last week, but I just don't see Northwestern playing up enough to be able to hold up for four quarters against Wisconsin. It'll be interesting.
Ohio State, Nebraska coming up. You're Locked On Big Ten Football Podcast. He's Chris Landry. I'm Dave Hooker.
You are Locked On Big Ten Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is the nightcap. You're Locked On Big Ten Football Podcast. Ohio State at Nebraska. Ohio State just continues to roll, but Nebraska, nothing shabby they're 3-1, and I'll be interested to see how this game shakes out. Does Nebraska have enough to be able to keep this game close?
They do if they play a very clean game. They have the explosive ability offensively to, you know, particularly at home, to kick in and maybe cause some problems from Ohio State. But they're too mistake-prone based upon what they've done. They've got to clean that up. I mean, they've got balance. They've got Martinez. They've got good receivers. They're putting some pieces together. The rushing attack got better each and every week. I thought it was, pretty good over Northern Illinois. I thought they ran the football against Illinois last week. So the last 2 weeks, they've gotten better. Defensively, they've been very inconsistent. And that would be the concern I would have. And Ohio State's just been really good. Ohio State hadn't been tested, but they have certainly beaten the heck out of their everybody they've played. I expect Ohio State's going to be a handful for Nebraska's defense. I think Nebraska's chances, Dave, rest with a shootout game where they are lights out and are explosive on offense. And, you know, take their chances there. So we'll see. Chase Young's going to have to be blocked all night. He's been phenomenal. Nebraska's offensive line has not been really good at protecting. Now, Martinez can move, but he's probably going to need to this week because they've allowed too many sacks. They've allowed too many leakage. So where there's been a lot of negative plays, tackles for losses. So I think there's some big plays that Ohio State can get defensively. So even if Nebraska has success on offense, guess what I'm saying? If they don't play a clean game and they don't cut down on the penalties and mistakes, they don't secure their protections, then I think there's enough negative plays to where, you know, Ohio State would maybe get a couple of extra possessions, and that's the difference. So I think this Nebraska secondary is going to struggle. They look like they're an Achilles heel for their defense, and I think Ohio State's going to roll them. But we'll see in Lincoln. Again, that clean game, that explosive game, that's Nebraska's chances. That's why I'm hoping for a good game and an exciting game, but you know, maybe it's going to be the reverse. I thought we might see a better game in Wisconsin, Michigan last week. It was a one-sided game. Maybe this one's a little bit closer than I'm anticipating, but I anticipate the Buckeyes to roll.
Rutgers at Michigan. I think we can both agree that Michigan's going to win this football game. You would think so, bouncing back. But let me ask you this. Jim Harbaugh, if he goes 8-4, which you've said is in play, is there a chance, because you've also stated that Michigan's not going to fire him, they don't want to get rid of him. What are the chances, from what you hear in coaching circles, that he throws up his hands and says, I'm done?
I haven't heard anything. You know, Jim's a unique guy. He doesn't have a lot of friends in coaching. It's possible because, again, he's quirky and by definition does things that maybe that might surprise you. Let me say this, you know, his bright shining light of returning to the NFL that was always thrown out there is really not so bright anymore. And so I don't really see that as a real option. He's walking away from an awful lot of money. And I don't know. Now, he's got a unique contract, Dave, in that a lot of it's tied up into – I say a lot. I mean, there's – he's got like a life insurance policy, maybe an annuity issue, stuff that's put together privately that – I don't know how that's affected. You know what I mean? I don't know how much of that – you know, by an early departure would be affected. I don't know that. I don't know that even if I read the contract, I would understand it legally. But I just can't see him walking away from it. I also think that as quirky as he is, the pride factor would make him not want to walk out under those circumstances. But to your point, if it got just completely exasperating, you might look at it. Here's the thing, and I'm being a little repetitive, but this is the key factor: is he's not done a good job with his assistant coaching hires, and I think he recognizes it, but I don't know that he wants to admit it. And that's going to be not that you should do anything during the season, but like I use the comparison, Nick Saban last year, he made some coaching hires that didn't work on his staff. He was able to camouflage it, modify it, and fix it enough to where they made it to the championship game. That's not Jim. That's not his strength. I'm curious to see what he does and how he takes over this offense. If he does that, which I think he's going to have to, and how that plays out. So I don't think he's going to step aside, but I wouldn't completely rule it out. And I do think if he went into that area where it just got so difficult and recruiting started to really factor in, that, you know, you could see him step aside. But if he steps aside, Dave, and I've said it, look, the only way he leaves is if he steps aside. But if he steps aside, where is he stepping aside to? I don't know that there's that opportunity out there that people just assume. I don't think, for example, Stephen Ross, the Dolphins owner, who's a Michigan guy and was in love with Michigan, I think he's got to figure out, well, that's not going to work now. And he just hired a coach last year, and they're kind of in that rebuilding mode. I don't know that he has that landing spot to leave unless he just wants to do something else.
MTSU at Iowa. Iowa quietly is undefeated. I don't think a lot of people are talking about them nationally.
Yeah, they haven't. Obviously, outside of the Iowa State game, you know, that was one of those rain delay deals, and they didn't win it by a lot. Iowa State's good. Yeah, look, they're the team. You know, going into the season, I thought they might be the most complete team in the West. It looks right now, I admit, that Wisconsin looks like that team. But I still think Iowa is going to have something to say about it. They're really good, Dave. The quarterback's good. They're a little bit more receiver-centric in the passing game as opposed to tight end-centric last year. They don't have a Jonathan Taylor. Not many do. So they're doing it by committee. The defense is playing well, not great. People are down on A.J. Epenza, but he's getting double-teamed a lot. So what they need is better play from the opposite end to where they can become a little bit next level. Look, they haven't played the schedule yet to warrant people getting excited. And I think a win at home against Middles not going to do it either. But it's coming. It's the rubber's going to meet the road here soon. They go to Michigan next week. So we're going to see, you know, that's where it's going to start to figure out, right? I mean, they go to Michigan and win. They would have done the same thing that Wisconsin did. Wisconsin did it at home. If Iowa doesn't beat Michigan, well, it revives Michigan a little bit, and it kind of certainly puts a separation of kind of where Iowa is in relation to Wisconsin at this point. But it's a long season, and obviously Iowa season truly starts next week. They got Michigan, Penn State, Purdue, Northwestern, then open date, Wisconsin, Minnesota, Illinois, and then end up at Nebraska. So we'll find out how good Iowa is. I think they're one of the two best teams in the West.
Coming up, we break down a top 25 team and a team that is facing a must win, even though it's still September. Locked on Big Ten Football Podcast. He's Chris Landry. I'm Dave Hooker.
You are Locked On Big Ten Football, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
It'll be a 3:30 start as Indiana takes on Michigan State. You're Locked On Big Ten Football Podcast with Chris Landry. I'm Dave Hooker. This has to be a feel-good game for Michigan State. I can't imagine them slipping up against the Hoosiers.
I don't think they would now. I think the whole issue is Michigan State's offense and what can they continue to progress. I think that certainly run the football a little bit better. They started to make some plays in the passing game off that tough performance against Arizona State. So, you know, we'll see how much better I think they can make some plays against this Indiana defense. And listen, they are unbeaten in the Big Ten play. We all know how good this defense is. So I'm very curious to see, you know, how good this Michigan State team can be. We're going to know when they go to Columbus next week, kind of in Wisconsin the following week, kind of where they stand in the league. And they may not be able to beat those two teams or not. We'll find out. But I think it's going to really stem, Dave, from the offense and the progression of this offense. That's going to make or break them because the defense is really salty.
Minnesota at Purdue. Purdue 1-2 needs a win. But ironically, Minnesota 1.5-point favorite.
Yeah, well, and I think the reason is, and this is one that the gamblers are going to be trying to find out, and as of this taping, don't have the answer, folks. I don't know if Elijah Sindelar is going to play or not. They've been a little bit kind of back and forth and, you know, practice this week. That, to me, is the determining factor. I like Purdue to win the game if he plays. If he doesn't, look, I mean, they're just not the same offense. Minnesota's a good line of scrimmage team. They've got, you know, good backfield. You know, TCU hammered them, Purdue, without their, you know, quarterback. And so I think Minnesota can run the football on them. So this is the most intriguing game, I think. Penn State, Maryland, and the next to me would be this game because I think this almost eliminates Purdue early with a loss. Minnesota has, listen, they've hung in there. They've been, you know, at times impressive, at other times not so much. Now, Minnesota doesn't have a pass rush. So if Sindelar can play, they get their running game going, and they get a lead, then it's Purdue. So to me, I see this game, quite frankly, being like a 10 to 14 point margin. I just don't know who's going to win it. I know that's, well, that doesn't make any sense. Well, it does in my mind, because I think if Sindelar plays and he's healthy, I think Purdue wins it. I think they get a lead, and I think they force Minnesota to play from behind, which they do play well from behind. I get it. But I think Purdue can, against Minnesota's lack of pass rush, can score points and cause problems for Minnesota coming from behind all the way. But if they don't get that, if Sindelar can't play, then I think Minnesota could play it differently, play it more towards the line of scrimmage, and I like the Gophers in that matchup. So, look, Minnesota's +2 in turnover margin. I don't know where to go with it, folks. I've kind of, with the fact that I'm not sure that Purdue's going to win it, I would go with Minnesota. But if Sindelar plays, this is one you want to stay away from unless you got inside information on whether Sindelar is going to play and be effective playing coming off the injury.
Yeah, I don't think that's just a stay-away game. I think it's a stay-the-heck-away game, if you like to play the numbers for entertainment purposes only. For Chris Landry, I'm Dave Hooker. You're Locked On Big Ten Football Podcast.